Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake. Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go so that you can make the sound we broadcast as loud as possible.
This is the Kaiju Podcast, and I am Ralph.
Hi. I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about, hold on, let me get this straight, Invasion of the Astro Monster.
Yeah.
That's probably what it says on your DVD. On mine, it was Monster Zero.
Right. Yeah, like, it came up as just Monster Zero. It didn't say King Kong versus Monster Zero. Which is how it's like the DVD as it lists as King. I'm not King Kong. I'm still on the last show. Godzilla versus Monster Zero.
Yeah. In Japan, it was called The Great Monster War.
Really?
Which I think is a really good title.
So something I did was because the DVD I had both versions on it. I watched the original Japanese. Which is hard to take notes with.
Because you have to read.
Yeah, because there's more reading involved. And then afterward, I just kind of wanted to look up. There's like certain parts I kind of wanted to see how they went in the American version for comparison. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of watched that and fast forwarded through parts. And there's some things that came up were kind of interesting. There might be some discrepancies in what we saw just because of that.
There now, the actor Nick Adams, who plays astronaut Glenn, he speaks English. Apparently, this was a co-production between America and Japan, and his lines are in American English the whole time, and then the Japanese people are speaking Japanese.
Yeah.
And then get dubbed in the American version,
right? And the vice versa happens in the Japanese version, where it's his lip syncing that's off, because he's singing. And like, there's a one part where like, because there's a part where I was watching, I was going, so is he speaking in English? And there's a part where they come out, and they're on the planet. And there's a close-up of him talking through the helmet about something, and like he's giving out some type of reading. And so we watched it and looked at the subtitles, backed it up, and then I just put it on mute and watched it. And you could kind of see that, like, instead of saying 1/10, he said half and stuff like that. And that was interesting. And then it wasn't after I had already finished watching that whole Japanese version when I went back to go look at parts of it in English. While this is definitely not my rule for most foreign movies, there definitely felt like the American version felt smoother in the way it explained some things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, you know, that, yeah, but that might have just been because the subtitling might not even been great, because that you often find happens too.
Yeah, I'm a bigger fan of the dubs than the subtitles. I like just kind of, it's easier to shut your brain off.
And just, just enjoy the candy.
And it kind of adds a little more silliness and fun to the movies, I think.
Yeah.
The dubs, because you can tell sometimes when they're not good dubs and the lines are.
Did the American version have it said in the year 196X?
I don't remember.
Okay, because like that was at least what the subtitle says, like in the year 196X, like 1960X, like what? Question mark. I don't know. Well, like, I was wondering if like they did something in an attempt to make it more timeless.
Well, what's weird is the Japanese version came out in 1965. And then it didn't get released in America until 1970.
Really?
Yeah, and according to this book by Steve Reifel, no one really knows why. No one has an explanation for this. And I guess the actor Nick Adams died somewhere in that time.
Oh,
yeah, he like passed away. So I don't know if it was something where they're like, I don't know if we should release this yet. I don't think he was like popular enough to maybe need a kind of like cooling off period or something, but I thought that was an interesting tidbit that it
he's definitely more of a character than a lot of the other people in the movie. Like he, like even this, like when they're on the planet, the way he sits in the chair,
mm-hmm.
and it has that extra kind of like the
swagger.
Yeah,
he reminded me of Han Solo a little bit.
And he has a pretty like strong like accent. Like the way he talks was like definitely, you know,
New York.
Had a more of a character-y kind of quality.
Yeah. He did say Hill of Beans at one point. he kind of talked like old-timey 40s movie.
Yeah.
Cuz I don't know if they still said Hill of Beans in the 60s in 1965. My now is this one that you had seen before?
No, I don't think I've seen this one.
What are like your overall impressions of it?
It was, well,
because it's one of my, it's I think it's still my favorite.
It's great. There's a lot that's really fun about this one for sure. There's a interesting just kind of like seeing it. I don't know.
Because when we watched Shin Godzilla, we were talking about how like a lot of it takes place in conference rooms, and we really didn't get into it that much. And right. It was all like real inner workings of how the government works in Japan. But this was like the human story was so crazy and weird and sci-fi that I like that it's almost a whole different movie.
I mean, having space people is great. I don't know. Is this the first time that space people get kind of involved in the Godzilla story?
I think so. I think this is the 7th Godzilla movie.
Like, this is the first time that we start being like, oh, I guess the atmosphere is fine for Godzilla wherever he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I was just because I also like the kitschy way old space aliens look.
Yeah. Some of them look like crotchety old men. Like, there are varying ages. And I found myself like transfixed on all the background aliens, not the commander guy. They were all just scowling. Different.
I was transfixed on trying to figure out where the outfit separates. Like, is it a full body suit underneath, and they just pull the vest over?
It probably zippers up in the
back. And also, kind of figuring out how an outfit like that would work in cosplay on a body type that's more like mine. Like, is it in, like, I go, is it specific enough that people be like, oh, I know who you are?
Yeah.
You're a commandant.
I'm going to tell you something. I thought the exact same thing. Because I was like, I want one of these outfits.
Yeah.
If I show up at a convention with my stature, would I just look ridiculous?
Yeah, my concern is that the shirt is very short.
Yeah, the vest is.
Should I extend the shirt? Make it longer? Or is it just like a half shirt on me?
It kind of reminds me, I thought of episode 7 of Star Wars, where Greg Grunberg's character has a like almost the same Rebel vest as everybody else, like the same pilot vest, but it rests on him a little bit different because of his physique. And I was looking at the vests on the aliens from Planet X, and I'm like, I don't think it would work for my body because it's kind of a midriff.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a bigger fella. And
it'd be a lot more, it'd be like the vest and then a lot of gut down below that's just connected to the legs because it's one jumpsuit piece.
Yeah. And I'm like, could I maybe like switch it up and do like some sort of military kind of like cargo pants with a belt and just cosplay from the waist up?
Right. Yeah, or can you make a bigger vest?
Because I really just wanted
and it's just like the pants underneath. Yeah.
Because I really just wanted the helmet, glasses, and vest.
Yeah, it's really, yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what you want.
I really like the designs. They have an antenna, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The earphone, the and the headset. The,
yeah.
So this is, I mean, we just started, right? So this is our third movie, but it's already two movies seem to have this weird love triangle between a brother, his sister, and her sister's boyfriend. And I'm not saying the brother's interested, but the brother is definitely interested in cock blocking.
Yes.
And, like, because, like, in King Kong vs. Godzilla, there's that whole thing, like, hey, he got a bigger stake than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, it's like he sends a message. He says, hey, tell her don't do anything. Don't do anything rash. And then you go, oh, wait a second, that's her brother?
Yeah.
You know, it's like twice it's like you go, oh, this must be her boyfriend. And then it's like, oh, no, that's her brother. That's her boyfriend.
I'm wondering if that's just a coincidence or if it happens more.
That's something to look at. It's like there'll be things. It's like, all right. You know, it's like this episode had no trains, but we still had this love triangle. That's kind of stuff to kind of.
Yeah, because I think there's something, there may be something like that in Godzilla versus Gigan. Because there's a brother who is an artist and he's coming up with monster designs for a Godzilla theme park. And I think it might be something similar. Yeah, we're going to have to look that up. Or keep an eye out as it happens.
I really like the rocket.
Me too. I like the way it looks.
Flying the rocket design looks so cool. I like the elevator model, even though it looked like they could only get one astronaut doll, so they had to go down one at a time.
Oh my god, that doll! I like tap Stevie on the leg. Hey, check out this shot. Just watch the doll going down the thing, and it made me laugh. Because they didn't even put like a little arm wiggle on a string or something.
No. By the way, that's one we didn't talk about. Like in the doll when King Kong is holding woman, she had like an arm wiggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's not like they don't have the technology for the arm wiggle.
Yeah.
Also, they go and land on this planet and they immediately have their guns drawn.
Yes.
And that also kind of made me wonder if, like, when we went to the moon, did we bring guns? You know,
I feel like you would have to, unless they knew enough about enough about it being uninhabited. But still, right.
So you don't know what you're going to run into. But also, like, what happens if you shoot a gun in space? Does it just come out like slow motion style, like The Matrix? In my head,
it's still exerting force. So, like a rocket booster, it doesn't take a lot of force to like change directions.
Small, I don't know.
So maybe it goes. I have no idea.
So, anyways, when that happened, I Googled and I was trying to see if they brought guns up to the moon, and I didn't quite get an answer if they did or not. But there was this whole thing talking about how the cosmonauts, they had sawed-off shotguns when they went into space. But they say it's more for where they might end up on Earth again, what they would run into when they went to the moon or wherever they went.
Yeah.
That it was like, you know, because sometimes you might land in a forest and have to deal with a bear. And so they had certain survival things. They had like knives and guns and stuff. And so, yeah, I'm not sure what was in the American tackle box of that stuff.
Yeah. And then it would have to be a special gun because the gloves for like the astronaut suits, the fingers are so big. Would they need like a special gun to like pull the trigger?
Oh, yeah. In the American version, does the leader on Planet X, you call him King Ghidorah, we call him
Monster Zero.
It's just, you give them names, we give them numbers. Does he say that?
Yeah. I liked the aliens' plan. It seems a little strange at the beginning, though, because it's like they have the ability to control the monsters. They probably could have just came to Earth, controlled all three monsters, and then got the water. Instead of saying this whole thing where, like, oh, if you guys give us Godzilla and Rodan, we'll give you this this cure that'll save everybody's life. Like, I feel like the kid had just come down and started.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But the, okay.
There definitely was this thing that he wanted, like, to make us, like, oh, we're on your side. We're like,
yeah.
We're, by the way, it's in the Japanese version, it's specifically the cure for cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was nice of them.
And I was like, at first I was like, why aren't they more suspicious that Planet X has basically been surveillancing them forever? Because they know, I mean, down to the fact that they know what we named all the monsters.
Yeah. Did when?
Oh, hold on. One more thing before, just because it popped in my head, is the guy's invention.
Yes.
It is called a Lady Guard. And I didn't realize that they're referring to that thing that makes all that noise as his invention. Like, I thought he invented a lot of different things. And the one that was currently going to be sold to market was the Lady Guard, and this was the new thing he was working on. But in the American version, they referred to it as something like the Lady Guard Alarm. And then that's where I was able to put two and two together. Okay. Oh, I guess that thing is the Lady Guard.
So it's like a rape whistle?
Yeah.
Okay.
That comes in like a little compact thing.
The whole thing was like, why? I didn't really fully understand, like, what is the purpose of this thing he made? It's just to make a crazy sound. And I'm just like, is it a toy for kids? What is it? Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Sad Godzilla and Rodan.
Okay.
When the Lastronauts, so the aliens from Planet X corral Rodan and Godzilla in their little bubbles.
Yes.
Which also needs to be some sort of toy, like either a bouncy ball or something. Because I like the Godzilla curled up like that.
Yeah, him holding his tail, like that's how he sleeps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the baby alien in Alien 3.
Yeah.
And so they take him to Planet X, and then the astronauts, Glenn and Fuji, as they're leaving Planet X, Godzilla and Rodan, they're super sad. Like, why are you leaving us here?
Yeah.
And it's to the point where, like, I felt really bad for them.
Yeah, it's like we left them in an orphanage.
Yeah.
They're like, what are you doing?
Like, I wanted to adopt them. I wanted to rescue. Oh, this is Godzilla. He's a rescue. I have a later note, which is along the same lines, is when the aliens come down to Earth and they bring the monsters there, and they're now threatening Earth. They're giving Earth an ultimatum. And while the aliens from Planet X are waiting to hear the Earth's response, Godzilla and Rodan are kind of just sitting on rocks. And Godzilla's sitting there, like, kind of rubbing his chin, just like waiting. Like, that's very strange, too. That made me laugh, because it doesn't... You only see Godzilla either fighting or walking, and that's it.
No, because this is Godzilla's biggest personality movie, I think, that I know of. It's like, he's got the Irish dance.
Yes.
His dance is, you know, genius. And then he's all... But also, when he's fighting, he does that kind of boxer's feet shuffle thing.
Yeah.
He, like, throws some punches and shuffles his feet around.
Yeah, and according to the book that I've been looking at, I think this is the first time that Godzilla's been treated as, like, a hero.
Oh. Well, in the movie they reference that the reason they bring Godzilla and Rodan up is because they already had fought King Ghidorah.
Oh, that's right.
Fought them together.
Yeah. It's weird because I mentioned this in the last show about usually they would slow down the footage so that there's more weight to the character, but Godzilla moves so crazy and fast in this that it's like there's no way something that big could move that fast, and so it doesn't look like he doesn't look like a giant monster. He just looks like a guy in a suit.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He's it's also him, and he's more of a superhero in this version.
Yeah. He's like the Godzilla that fought Charles Barkley. He's more athletic.
Yeah. So was that that Planet X guy, was he tanning himself?
I don't know.
Because I thought, like, that's what I was like, he's trying to pass as a human. Oh, that reminds me. There's this another interesting change in the translation when the guy sneaks onto the island and they figure out that that guy's there and they turn to the woman. And in the American version, they say, "That's another project you've bungled." But in the Japanese, in the translation, according to the subtitles, it says, "You can't even handle one man."
Is that the girl who is in love with astronaut Glenn?
Yes.
Which she's like one of many automaton. All the women are look the same.
And that was another weird translation thing. There's that part. Okay, so, first of all, it's so funny that when they get caught, and in a way, they're put on trial.
Mm-hmm.
But then once the trial is over, they just turn the lights on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they just had the spotlight on them for that one bit. They're going to ask some questions. And just, okay. And then they turn the lights on if they're in the same room. But basically, it's like in, you know, when he says, "Hey, how come all the women have the same face or whatever?"
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. All the same face is the Japanese. The Americans, like, why they all look alike.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, and their response is something like, you know, you don't like how she looks. She's beautiful, that whole thing. And his answer in the American version is that beauty is only a skin deep. But the Japanese answer is, it sounds something along the lines like, "Listen, but if everyone's beautiful, how are you going to know who's beautiful?"
Yeah.
It was something along those lines. Like, you know, like if everyone's rich, everybody's poor.
Yeah.
And also, they made an exact replica of the spaceship, but we put an extra seat in there.
Yeah.
Because we knew you'd be bringing somebody.
Yeah, the head dude. It gets to the point where all the monsters are on Earth, and the aliens for Planet X are controlling them, and it's time to figure out how to stop them from controlling the monsters, which is this crazy sound from the lady guard that can do it. And then, like, the last, like, half hour of the movie is sound.
Yeah, this is me. Yeah, I actually wanted you to explain to me exactly what they did to defeat them. Because it seems like the lady guard actually is for the Planet X people.
Yeah.
That sound hurts them.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that intercepts, but then there's the other thing that they shoot. The little,
like, kind of hairy lightning looking thing.
Yeah, that thing is to stop them from being able to control the monsters.
To break up the magnetic wave.
It's like both. Yeah, it's both those. It's a two-prong attack. Right?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
And they both sound awful.
Yeah.
Just like the last half hour, like, Stevie was taking a nap and I'm like, I gotta turn this down because she's gonna wake up and it's just gonna be an onslaught of lady guard, lightning beam, nonstop Ghidorah yells, nonstop Godzilla yells, nonstop Rodan yells, and insane music. It was crazy the amount of sound effects that were going on and being thrown on a loop that I was like, this might be, like, too much.
If it was late at night and you fell asleep on the couch watching this movie, this would bring you back out.
You wake up.
Yeah.
So what's funny is that the Earth people take out the aliens' technology and are able to cut the beams and blow up the UFOs. So now they just have
three monsters
that are out of control.
Wait. Do the Earth people blow up the UFOs?
Well, they blow
or
up.
Do the I know, but they said they're escaping into the future.
Oh, they say that in the American version?
I don't know. Did they not?
I don't remember that.
Oh, in this version, that's what they say. It says, we must escape into the future, and then the UFO blows up.
Okay. I don't know if I remember that part.
And I'm like, that's their escape? And it's like, it really starts getting this weird, like, what does that mean by the future? Like, are they, I don't know, do they come back?
No. Not these guys. There's other aliens in other movies, but they don't look like
this.
Oh,
you know what else I think? I think the other thing was in the American version, the aliens are like going, retreat, retreat. But in the Japanese version, the ones that are at Earth base are stuck there. They're like, you know, they're like, help us, help us. And they're like, no, no, you got to stay and fight or whatever.
Huh. That's really
weird. But yeah, they said escape into the future.
Oh, man. I don't
remember. Also, when they zap Glenn's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she just kind of disappears. In the Japanese, they're like, why'd you kill her? And in the American, Glenn's like, what'd you do to her? Because it's not clear that she's dead. She just disappears.
Yeah, because she doesn't. I assume she was going to show up. And then I'm like, at the end, when she doesn't, I'm like, oh, she just must be dead now?
You know what I also love, though? Yeah, exactly. That's what. Yes. So basically, that's them eliminating her. I guess that's when you get shot with their ray. That's what happens. Okay. You completely get atomized and disappear. I just thought it was really funny when they randomly push buttons on the elevator and are able to get in, but the guys who actually work there couldn't get the elevator to work for them.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Although the strategy of let's get these guys together so they fight is as good as you could ask for in the Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we want to bring these all together.
And then when they do fight, and there's one point where all three monsters are knocked out, and Rodan's like shaking his legs, and Godzilla's like the twitching. Seizures. And then the craziest one is King Ghidorah's head's all beating on his stomach.
Yeah, they're like tucked in. Like,
it's kind of freaking me out.
King Ghidorah, my one problem with King Ghidorah,
he doesn't have arms.
He's a cool looking monster, and the lightning bolts that come out of his mouth is great. That as a power, but when he's trying to beat on somebody and all he has is his neck, that loses me a bit, because the neck's a delicate thing. You break that, you're screwed. You have just have like one of your heads is just hanging down like a dead arm, and then he's stuck that way. But yeah, that's always kind of my issue with King Ghidorah.
The Godzilla video game that was like on GameCube or something, however long ago that was. If you played as King Ghidorah, you can like the two outside heads would grab the shoulders of the person you're fighting, and then the middle one would bite the face.
Wow, that's actually if those two outside heads could work as arms, it'd be cool. Yeah. Like that's always been a thing with King Ghidorah. And I was trying to remember if there were any arms when he had that metal plate in his chest, but I guess he doesn't. No. He's still that guy.
Well, that one was where the middle head got destroyed, and then they created a mecha.
King Ghidorah. For the middle head?
Yeah. And there was a pilot in there. That's a good one. I really like that movie.
All right. Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
The big finish is the best. The Rodan basically picking Godzilla up by the shoulders
and throwing him.
Just basically tackling into King Ghidorah. It was pretty great.
They need more stuff like that. They need, like, I like teamwork. Like, I don't know if that ever happens again either, where Godzilla gets picked up as a battering ram.
That would be fun. Yeah. Or to do things like if they could do things like where, like, he puts his hands down and the guy puts his foot in his hands and he can flip him towards him. But yeah. That would be kind of fun, more like acrobatics.
Yeah. There's some weird stuff that happens, like where Godzilla propels himself with his fire breath and flies backwards.
Right.
Or does the sliding kick on his tail. But it's like such a easy thing to do. Is have a monster pick up another monster.
Yeah, well, it's like the image for a lot of the King Kong versus Godzilla posters is basically King Kong swinging Godzilla around by the tail.
Yeah.
Though it never happens.
Nope.
I mean, he grabs it a few times, but that's about it.
Yeah, the closest thing to that is the dude swinging the lizard. So I don't know if I have much more on this movie. I like that it's more sci-fi. I like sci-fi. Yeah. There's other Godzilla movies that'll get into magic.
Yeah, there's cool space stuff. Yeah, yeah. That we know coming. It's also like, I wonder, when they fight on a planet, the planet doesn't have enough cool stuff for them to break.
Yeah, everything is underground because they're supposedly so afraid of Monster Zero.
Yeah, but that was
like they have those like phone booths that come out of the ground and then recede back in. But yeah, I don't know if they've ever had like a moon base that they've destroyed.
I wonder how much of that is actually was part of their plan. Like, did they bring King Ghidorah so they could then say, "Oh no, look, we have King Ghidorah"? Or did King Ghidorah just end up there? Like, is that where he flew off to?
Maybe.
At the end. And so they were stuck with this. Because they have this whole master plan that, you know, this is our, we're gonna let the Americans find us, I guess. I don't know.
And I think with the exception of like two other movies with Ghidorah in it, I think he's essentially a space monster. He comes from outer space.
Yeah.
So he was probably just there.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to live here for a while now.
Yeah, because Jupiter's not that far as, you know, monsters go, I don't think. Mm-hmm. That's where Planet X is. So, yeah, they probably just, that's where he flew. And then they were just stuck with him.
But we'll use this so we can finally take over the planet Earth.
Yeah, maybe that was the thing. Maybe they're like, well, where did this monster come from? Oh, he was last seen on this planet that's covered in water. Wait, they got water? So maybe that's how they discovered Earth.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. The thing that water is more valuable than gold analogy, I think they say that to them, to the humans when they come. And in the American version, they're like denying it. Like the human says it. It says, no. Gold is the value of gold here. Water, we can get it anytime we want it.
Yeah. So next episode, we're gonna cover Rodan, the standalone Rodan movie, which I'm excited for. I haven't seen it in a while. And you mentioned to me that you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these, I don't think I'm hoping that some of these I'll be like, oh, wait, I did see this one. But yeah, that I can't. I don't have any. I'm pretty sure because that one's in black and white, isn't it?
It's in color.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Because the pictures being in black and white.
I'm pretty sure it's in color. I remember it being in color, but I could be wrong. But you get to see where Rodan comes from. That's gonna be fun. I know where he comes from, and
I forgot to mention this last episode. When I was googling King Kong versus Godzilla, and I found there are these Italian posters that say King Kong contra Godzilla, but the posters have Gamera and they have like the knife head guy, and it turns out I guess they're from that. I forget what the name of the knife head guy is, but basically it's from that movie, and they just add like a gorilla to the poster.
They just got it wrong.
I think it's a lot of times in foreign releases, it's like the posters are made without anyone having actually seen the movie to just get the marketing out there. And so there's often a lot of discrepancies.
I'd watch that movie.
Yeah, well, it's great because also, like, the gorilla kind of looks a little bit like I'll have to send them to you. There's, like, one where he kind of looks like Harry and the Hendersons.
Okay.
So I was like, is this what they thought King Kong vs. Godzilla was? But I guess that's just what they named this Gamera movie.
Huh.
All right, cool.
So, yeah, next week we're going to watch next episode. I keep saying next week. We're doing these bi-weekly, so next episode. We're going to be watching Rodan and talking about that. And then, once again, you can reach us at kaijupod.com. That'll take you to our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can get old episodes and subscribe on iTunes. And then until next time, sign off.
Fly into space.